You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. If you enjoy the thrill of thrifting, hunting for a deal, or finding that just right item, this is the issue for you. This may be perfect timing for your back-to-school shopping ideas as well. In this week's cover story, we turn to an area expert to learn more about digging for deals and the sense of accomplishment or confidence you may feel when you find the just right treasure. Amanda Nimmer looks at Facebook Marketplace and its trials and tribulations. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot reacts to the recent flooding in the state with a story on heavy rains and climate change. Joanne Krulotz looks at garage sales, and Pete Schwabba has his classic cinema pick of the week sure to make you laugh. I open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with a look at a thrift store chain in Wisconsin that uses its business model as a way to help adults with developmental disabilities thrive and grow. This weekend, Sunday specifically, marks National Thrift Shop Day, and one local thrift shop with several locations throughout Wisconsin has been celebrating with a full week of activities.
So we honor our staff, our volunteers in a variety of ways. We arrange treasure hunts within the store for our staff with prizes. They just get a little extra kudos. We celebrate with ice cream and those kind of things, some swag. But this year we actually have a theme called I'd Rather Be Thrifting.
That's Laura Sharonzi, District Manager of Able Light Thrift Stores. Able Light is a nonprofit organization in Wisconsin and other parts of the Midwest that assists adults with intellectual or developmental disabilities. It funds its mission through the Able Light Thrift Stores.
So 100% of our profits go back to fund the services that help people with disabilities.
Sharonzi explains that over 40% of the employees of an Able Light Thrift Shop are adults with disabilities, but that's not where the services end.
And many of them have been with us for over 14 years and have developed within their roles. So have come as a volunteer, went into a sales associate, and then moved on to a keyholder status. So some really neat growth that has happened. We do everything from housing insecurities, dealing with isolation, health and wellness, employment issues. So we have group homes, camps, some independent living services. So quite a few things go beyond our actual thrift shops.
Sharonzi says Able Light's mission is not something just written on a piece of paper or on a website, but is something that you can see at the thrift shops and in the community.
We have a really neat standing in today's society in the sense that our mission is based through Christian love. So Able Light wholeheartedly supports and advocates for all people with developmental disabilities to ensure that they have security, dignity, and hope. And not only is that our overreaching mission, but I really feel like if you walk into a store, and especially our Green Bay store, you see that. So you see the camaraderie, you see the development going on. And so that's just something that I'm proud of.
In Green Bay, the Able Light thrift shop is transforming. Right now it's closed as the organization is moving the thrift store to a new location, a nearly Herculean task completed by community members and supporters of the organization.
We're working with high schools, other third-party agencies, and doing a lot of volunteer experiences. And if you look at our Facebook, especially the Green Bay store, you'll often see pictures or celebrations of these groups coming, and they've helped us move, they've helped us prepare and clean, definitely helping us do things like process donations and price, and they're just the bread and butter of that store.
Sharonzi says they're always looking for volunteers in Green Bay to help with the move, and of course, donations are always needed to keep the sales floors fresh and full at all of their thrift stores.
We really take anything from home goods to crafting knickknacks. And so if you have leftover yarn or anything like that, or crafting pieces, office pieces, toys, clothing is a big part of our business. luggage. You know, we also take furniture. So the few things we don't take are probably those things that you would think of that are hard to make sure that they're good working. And that would be something like a refrigerator, you know, a washer and dryer.
The new Green Bay store at 2269 True Lane in Ashwaubenon will open September 5th. In the meantime, there are other Able Light thrift shops throughout Wisconsin, including those in Neenah, Appleton, Wausau, Horicon, Eau Claire, and Watertown. For information on donating, volunteering, or any of the services offered by Able Light, visit their website, abellight.org, or the Facebook page of your closest location. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Keep rising, like the rivers and the rain rates, as the state heats up. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains.
You've heard it before. With increased temperatures and more moisture comes the risk of heavier rain events. And it's what climatologists have been talking about for a while now. While we may not notice the 3-degree temperature rise nearly as much, we're really seeing the effects now of the added tropical heat. It's the juice that the storms just drank. And what we went through may be rare in history, it's seemingly becoming more and more common today. From the floods in Texas that struck and killed in early July, to parts of Chicago soon after with cars underwater. Now, Juneau, Alaska is under evacuation for a major record glacial melt. And here, Wisconsin tries to dry out and pick up the pieces that were washed away. After hours of downpouring rain soaked many parts of Milwaukee area last weekend, it rapidly rose rivers, creating record crests on the Menominee River and 24-hour rainfall rates that are under review of nearly a foot or more. Now, it takes time for the National Weather Service and partners to vet state records. And flooding didn't just happen in one place either. Scattered across the entire state, basements are soaked. People's belongings are ruined. And with their hands deep into their pocketbooks now and plenty of headaches still ahead. While looters roam at night, storm chasers knock on their doors during the day, offering scams or quick fixes that we need to be aware of because flood insurance isn't included in many policies. It's an extra add-on, and FEMA won't kick in unless it's declared a federal disaster. Meanwhile, this is considered a 1,000-year flood event. History. It's not common for the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District to release water into Lake Michigan. Sewage spilled into the Milwaukee River, Menominee River, and Lake Michigan shores and around boat launches. They reported 14.5 inches of possible record rain right there. However, no other areas nearby MMSD received that much, so it's under review by the National Weather Service and their partners. Otherwise, 11.88 inches of torrential rainfall by Butler is also being investigated as a new potential state record rainfall event. The prior state record in a 24-hour period occurred in Mellon back in 1946 with 11.82 inches. Two-day rain rates in Pewaukee hit 12.61 inches, Butler 12.22, Menominee Falls 12.05, all over a foot. And in case you're wondering, 1 foot of rain is equivalent to about 10 feet of snow. Devastating. Milwaukee hit 11.71 inches, Germantown 10.58, and West Bend at 10.10 inches. The Fox River at Waukesha jumped 5 feet fast in 8 hours to just over 8.5 feet, nearing the record of 8.8 feet. Meanwhile, the Menominee River at Menominee peaked at 8.52 feet at 1:45 in the morning on Sunday, setting a record and topping 8.31 feet that was set back on June 21st in 1997. The Milwaukee River and Cedar Creek also had flood warnings. And more rain in the state this weekend. Northern areas could get hit hard, dragging the risk for flooding right back in again. In fact, new analysis from the Wisconsin Policy Forum says data from the National Flood Insurance Program has jumped in the past 3 decades, stating that the climate has warmed and extreme rains are more likely. So we may need to stop building by rivers or put homes on stilts if this trend continues. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
What? Social media is a great place to do some thrifting. Here's our commentator, Amanda Nimmer.
recently I had a friend stop over to my house and they're like, oh my God, where did that desk come from? It's a really, where did you get it? We're looking for one kind of just like that. And my answer was, Marketplace. I can't help you more than that. And that is legit my answer for the majority of things in my house. Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace. Say what you want about Facebook, but their marketplace has been better to me than Craigslist ever has. And if you're sitting there going, what in the world is Craigslist? You are too young for me, and you've made me feel really old. But for real, Facebook Marketplace has been a real upgrade to those Craigslist days. In fact, it's like thrifting at a store, except you could do it from your home. You can browse on it like you're browsing on Amazon or any other store that you're just casually doing some window shopping on. You never know what might pop up, and it might even be something that's one of a kind. So when Facebook Marketplace started kind of blowing up, I found myself scrolling on it just casually because you never know. And you can haggle the price. That's better than a coupon. In my mind, it's better to reuse something that someone deems no longer worth their time than to see it end up in a landfill. All my millennials out there know this, that you have that weird anxiety-induced, fear-filled raise of constantly worrying about the landfills. I don't know. There's many millennials that I talk to. There's many even, you know, Gen Zs and some Gen Xers who feel the same thing. You know, they're talking about how the landfills are going to fill up and we're going to have no room for our garbage and we're running out of places to put all our garbage and we need to recycle. We need to do this. So the idea of just taking something and tossing it to the curb and letting the garbage people pick it up and toss it into a landfill and adding to that problem, it's not good. It's not good. And there's a reason why some of us are on medication. The point being, reusing, or what's it called, upcycling now, it's a big thing. And you know, when you think about it, shopping in a store isn't what it used to be. Again, I feel very old having this conversation, but it's not. You've noticed that the selections have gone down, right? If you need, like, a pillow or a lamp, which by the way are outrageously priced for what they are, or some kind of dishes or silverware, anything that isn't just food related that you may need for your home, you'll notice that the selection is just non-existent in stores. Everything's going online. So the ability to actually like see a product in front of you is slowly and surely being taken away from us. So what does this have to do with Facebook Marketplace? I'm glad you're asking, because not only are there pictures on there, you can then message assuming they respond to you, because trust me when I say I get it. There are people who choose not to reply when you're like, hey, I'm interested in this product. And then you're kind of frustrated because you're like, WTF, do you not want to sell it? Moving on. You can ask questions and then you can show up, take a look at the item and then decide, you know what? I don't want this. And you can leave almost anxiety-free and guilt-free. And the same can go for when you need to get rid of your stuff. You got a desk that you don't even use anymore? Try to at least get 10 bucks off of it instead of putting it on the curb. Right now, Facebook Marketplace is the best place to be because kids are moving out, college, for school, maybe even job relocation, and they're looking for things for cheap, things that are easy to get. Or their parents are trying to get rid of their stuff so they don't have to hold on to it. And that's where you come in. It's the best time to be shopping, and it's the best time to be getting rid of your own stuff, even if it's just for a little bit of cash. And the best part is you don't have to deal with shipping. This is all local. You can create your own radius. Am I saying Facebook Marketplace has changed the world? No. Does this make up for all the crap that Facebook puts us through day in and day out? Absolutely not. But it is a small sliver of silver lining to the chaos of which we live in day by day. Take a chance. You never know what you might find. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
When we come back, a look at garage sales and how you can connect with your community at your local thrift store. It's really a place where you'll not only save money, but you might find some new friends as well. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local civic media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, more on thrifting and hunting for a deal. But first, we have Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's pick takes us to Southern California in the mid-1980s, where we will meet a handsy doctor, two-timing husband, a corrupt police chief, and Marvin and Velma from Provo. And of course, a newspaper reporter named Irwin Fletcher, who simply goes by Fletch, which is also the title of this week's pick. The original Fletch is an undeniable 80s comedy classic starring Chevy Chase, who delivers more sarcastic one-liners in 5 minutes than most movies have altogether. Mistaken for a junkie who hangs out at the beach, Fletch is approached by multimillionaire Alan Stanwyck, played by Tim Matheson. Stanwyck has a proposal for Fletch. He wants Fletch to kill him due to the fact that he has bone cancer, or so he says, saying he wants to die before it becomes too painful. Fletch is skeptical, but goes along with it and also starts investigating Stanwyck. As it turns out, there is no bone cancer, only a man with two wives running scams who wants to use Fletch's body so he can fake his own death and steal millions of dollars. Along the way, Fletch falls for Stanwyck's soon-to-be duped wife as he turns the tables on the conniving husband. This is the kind of story where you don't care if the crime ever gets solved because Fletch's investigation is so entertaining as he encounters a cast of characters and bombards them with rapid-fire wisecracks.
I hope there's nobody sitting next to me. You see, I always travel first class, and I take both seats up. I'm in bridge work, construction. These foldouts take a tremendous amount of space up, and I need the space.
I'm afraid there is someone sitting next to you.
Oh, for God, Don. Who is it, Mr. Sinlinden?
No, the name's Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh? Ah, is that Morris or Pierre?
Sally Ann Kavanaugh.
Sally Ann, well, terrific.
In fact, you purchased the ticket for Miss Kavanaugh.
Doesn't mean I want her sitting next to me, does it?
I'm sorry, the flight's full. She's connecting out of Provo.
Oh, all right, fine. Provo, Spain?
Utah.
Utah.
He charges expensive food to a jerky country club member's account, poses as a patient, and ends up getting an impromptu rectal exam, and even plays a member of the mattress police. Chevy Chase was at the height of his popularity while making Fletch. While known for physical comedy, Chase is more identifiable for his deadpan, condescending, and sarcastic delivery. His star eventually faded, and his on-set reputation wasn't the greatest, but he left behind several cinematic treasures. Chase has said in more than one interview that Fletch is his favorite film because the filmmakers let him be himself. As an actor and improver, he is also a creature of habit, as there is a point in Fletch where he says, "I feel like $100. He used the same exact line in Caddyshack. In the scene in Fletch where the police chief, played by Joe Don Baker, locks Fletch in a jail cell, Chase sings "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," just like he did in Vacation, while piloting the family truckster toward Wally World. The film is based on the Fletch books by author Gregory MacDonald. Oftentimes, a book editor, in an attempt to protect his or her baby, will ask for creative input when it comes to the movie. Thank goodness MacDonald had that power and final approval when it came to casting the lead, as production was considering Mick Jagger and Burt Reynolds to play the role of Fletch. I mean, seriously? Yikes. If either had been cast, Fletch would most likely not be this week's classic pick. Another actor considered for the role was Charles Grodin, who discussed almost being cast in his memoir, "It Would Be So Nice If You Weren't Here," which is a great showbiz book. And here's a really strange fun fact. At the end of the movie, Fletch is packing up a box of his stuff and puts on a hat that reads Nostromo. It is the same hat worn by Harry Dean Stanton in the film Alien. I have no other information. If you haven't seen it, give it a watch. And if you've seen it 20 times, like me, give it a rewatch. Fletch is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more showbiz fun and entertainment talk, tune into Nightlight with Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hitting the garage sales is a thrifting must, and here is Joanne Krulotz to explain how to stay safe.
When shopping at a garage sale, buyers should be cautious about certain items they intend to purchase. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
This can be a really fun time of year because you can find great deals. Maybe you find unique merchandise. Maybe you just like to find those surprises, that those things you didn't know you needed that show up in someone else's garage. But please keep safety in mind and check for recalls on items that anyone intends to purchase. And the best way to do this is examine the item and ask yourself questions about the item when you're shopping.
When inspecting an item, there are things to look for to make sure it is safe for you and your family.
Does the item have an electrical cord? If it does, is there damage to that cord? Frayed wires, coating that's cracked or broken away. This could be an electrical hazard that could cause problems for electrocution or a fire safety hazard in your home. Does the item, especially any toys, have chipping paint? Because that could be a sign of lead. If you have little ones in the house or even yourself, lead can be very hazardous. Does the item contain chemicals that could be toxic? Now, this is very hard to see, so how are you going to know if things like BPA or PFAS, mercury, again, even lead could be a problem, so you probably need to check the recall list on these items. If you have little ones in the house or could come into the home, you need to consider choking hazards. So maybe you travel with an empty toilet paper tube roll with you, and if any items, small parts fit through that, that could be considered a choking hazard, and you need to take caution there. And same with button cell batteries. Those can be incredibly hazardous for young people as well as older if they are ingested. So you need to consider if the item has secured that battery properly so it's not accessible.
While inspection is a great way to check the safety of the item, Michelle Reinen says that there is another way to check if it is safe.
Your examination is one step, but actually checking the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission for recalls of items is that second step before you bring them into the home or even before you purchase them, because you can go to saferproducts.gov and check things out while you're standing in the driveway of someone's household and just see if that item's been recalled or not.
If you have questions about the safety of an item or if you are a victim of a scam, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at DATCPHotline@wi.gov.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story with Terry Barr. We'll be right back. New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time now for our cover story. Now, whether it's the thrill of the hunt, the happiness of your find, or just knowing that you're helping the environment by reducing waste, thrifting is more than just shopping. It can be creative and personal. Our Terry Barr talks with one of the area's saving experts, and after more than 15 years as a regular thrifter, Katrina Hardnag says she's seen it all. Here's Terry Barr. I want to welcome Katarina Hardigan. Now, she is going to share some of her own thrift shopping secrets and why she finds it so much fun. Katarina, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I am really interested in this, but I want to start by maybe going backwards a little bit. What is your story for why you enjoy thrift shopping?
There are so many parts and why I enjoy it. So obviously environmental impact. We all see how much ends up in landfills, and truly I don't think I understood the scope of it, even though I've been thrifting since I was 15 and I'm 33 now. There was a Goodwill Bins, which is like an outlet that opened up in Madison last August. And basically they take things that Goodwill doesn't or just like overstock. I mean, the amount of things that go into the thrift stores is they can't even take it all. people think, oh, I'm doing this great thing. No, they can't even take it all. So then they send it to these warehouses, which is where the Goodwill bins kind of came about. And they will literally put it into these plastic, giant, like 6-foot bins that are on wheels, and they will make aisles. And you just kind of sift through all this stuff. It's like an actual dig. And I don't think I truly understood like the scope of how much until I saw the Goodwill bins, because they are rotating these aisles of these giant rolling bins, constant rotation. And then you see the swinging doors open into the back of the warehouse, and you just see floor to ceiling of stuff. And you are like, there is so much that already exists. Why would I need to purchase more? So the environmental thing is big for me, but then also just personal style. Almost all of my clothes are thrifted or vintage, and you can kind of just create looks that nobody else can. And then if you're like, oh my gosh, I love your outfit, you can say it's thrifted, and just their face drops because they know they can't recreate it just by going to a big box store and buying the same thing that you're wearing. And just kind of like the thrill of the hunt and that dopamine hit that you get after finding a good deal. I mean, nothing compares to the rush of finding Fry boots in your size at the Goodwill bin, so you know you're paying $2 for them. And that lasts for a few hours, and I don't get that after running. I get it after thrifting, though.
You have been thrifting a long time then. Have you ever thought, ugh, I'm exhausted. This thrifting thing is hard. I'm going to give it up for a while. Or is this just part of your life now?
I even thrift Christmas gifts. I think it's a lot more intentional, honestly. I think I give better gifts when I thrift them because I really have to think about the person. Anyone can walk into a Target or a Walmart and just buy something off the shelf, and it's just not as thoughtful as like really curating a gift that you really had to dig for and find and think about a person when you pulled that item, and then just kind of create something special. There is no amount of just like stress or wanting to give it up ever. I mean, even if I'm wealthy, I'm still going to thrift.
I want to ask, do you have secrets? I did not know about the bins. Obviously, that's a big deal. It's probably not a secret, but if you aren't a regular thrifter, are there secrets to doing this right?
Yeah, so I gave this some thought because I was like, I want to be useful. So the Goodwill bins, it is overstimulating. I mean, there are people who just like rush to the bin when a new line gets put out, and they are pushing, they are shoving, they are digging like little rats. But if you really want something that's a little bit more curated, obviously the Goodwills and the St. Minis, those kinds are a little bit more accessible because they will organize things by like housewares, you know, clothing and different sections. So it's a lot less overwhelming. And there's obviously like the antique stores and the vintage curated shops, and those are set out for you. That's there for you to be able to browse and not be overstimulated as much. The Goodwill bins are good for the people who don't get overstimulated as easily. Another tip, Madison prices are a thing. Milwaukee prices are a thing. But as soon as you leave those bigger cities, you get the better prices and the better finds. So my favorite thing is when I visit family up north, or if I'm just taking like a trip with friends, we hit those thrift stores. And luckily my husband and my friends love to thrift as well. So we go together, but we look up like the small town thrift stores. Second Chance Thrift, or just like that random name that you're not going to find anywhere else. You're going to find like those cool wool sweaters. And my big thing is glassware. That's where you'll find the glassware and all the cool decor from like the 60s, 70s. And then I also have a thrift list on my phone. So I always know like, oh, am I looking for a vintage basket for my dog's toys or something? And so then I always kind of know what I'm hunting for, and instead of just wasting my time going through every aisle. And then I also really like Google Lens now. Now in the world of Google Lens, you can kind of look up, because I also resell a lot of the things I find because I have a lot and I cannot house it all. So I sell a lot of the stuff I find. And now with Google Lens, you can just kind of swipe, take a picture, and you can find out if the item is valuable or not and worth your time or not. Oh my gosh, flea markets. The golden standard is Elkhorn Flea Market. It happens once a month, May to September, on a Sunday, and it is overwhelming. I mean, I would say allot yourself maybe 5 hours. And I don't think I've ever even seen it all because there's like 400 plus vendors. It is insane. And that is fun. Even if you don't shop all of it, it's just so cool to see. Like, nowhere else are you going to see some of the things you're going to see there. the large scuba diving helmets that are all cool. I mean, you just don't see that at Goodwill.
Oh my gosh.
And then I also really like the Princeton Flea Market.
Oh, I've heard about that one.
That one's really good. And the Jefferson Flea Market I just went to for the first time. It was small, but it was mighty. I mean, I got a few good things there. I think those are my hottest tips.
I'm talking with Katarina Hartigan, and I am considering her our Wisconsin thrift expert. Now, you just mentioned flea markets and thrift stores. Do's and don'ts for either of those. Can you haggle?
I am a people pleaser, so it's really hard for me to haggle. Some of my friends are very good at it, so sometimes I'll be like, please, 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 and I'll just push them. You can haggle. I think what I've always heard with haggling, I don't use this tip, but what I've heard is they price it at like the ideal price that they want to get, right? So you give a price where you're comfortable meeting in the middle. So you might give them like a low ball, but not too low, because then you'll offend them and then they'll be like, get out of here. But then you kind of give them a number that you're kind of like, okay, I'll pay more than this and I know this, and then you'll meet in the middle. I don't use that one often though, because it's hard for me. But I would say at antique stores, I've heard you can haggle, maybe, but usually the people that have the booths in the stores aren't there to even accept your proposition. The likelihood is low there. So I would say your best chance at haggling is only at flea markets.
Yeah, that makes sense. What about other do's and don'ts? Have you seen anything that just doesn't work, or do you just go in with an open mind and hope everything works?
Yeah, I mean, something I see people doing at the bins is wearing gloves, because you can, you know, sometimes dig through something that's either gross or sharp. I am always looking for vintage wool sweaters, so I can't wear gloves, because how do you feel like the vintage like wools and those textiles without having bare hands? But I know that a lot of people will wear gloves to the Goodwill bins, just because you never know what you're going to scoop up. So that's another tip. And another thing I always do is I always open the boxes. You will walk past a thrift store and or at the bins, and you will see like a little box, and it's unassuming. It's gray cardboard. You're like, oh, that's not interesting. And then you walk past it. But every single time I've opened a box, there's something very cool in there. Huh. So I have some like very cool, like old brass knobs for a kitchen, or like little miniatures, just everything that I found that I was surprised was in that box. I've always been like, so glad I opened that box. So,
and it's real. I assume this is a real, it's been used. It's an antique. Maybe it's not a redo. It's not one that's been copied that now we can go buy in other stores. You're getting the real thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's kind of making me upset, because now vintage and thrifting is becoming popular, which, thank goodness, our planet needs that. But then I think that some of these like big box stores are catching on to that and making reproductions of things that are vintage. And it just makes me upset, because I'm like, you can go to a thrift store and find that immediately, like fake brass, like statues. Those are always something that I'm looking for at thrift stores, like animal statues. And now Target's starting to sell them, and they're not real brass. They're not vintage, and it's ridiculous. Or quilted jackets. Those are hot right now. And you can find quilts at every single thrift store and learn to sew like I have and make your own jackets. It's all out there. I guess I feel like that's the lazy way out, is to just go to like these stores and get the reproductions. I mean, nothing is made with the quality now what it was decades ago. I mean, the furniture I have is old and you'd never know it because it works really well. The furniture that I purchased back in college all fell apart within a few years because it's not real furniture. I feel that way about clothes too, like polyesters and all the synthetics. It all falls apart after a couple washes and isn't even good to put on your body. But the clothes from decades ago have held up still for a reason. Those are kind of my favorite things to look for.
For someone listening, and now they're thinking, this sounds so cool, I've never done it before, how does someone just get started?
It is cool, and it should be cooler, and everyone should be thrifting. I would say start small. Like I had mentioned, maybe start at some of like the Goodwills or the St. Vincent de Paul's in your area, and then start to branch out to maybe the ones where you have to like really like hone in like what you're looking for, like some of those like smaller shops that I'd mentioned. And then once you feel brave, go to the bins. I would say go to the bins. It's an experience. And like the antique stores or like the little antique malls, if you're passing through, usually when you're going up north in Wisconsin, you see them. They're always like a barn or an old schoolhouse. And you see just like this big hand-painted sign that says antiques. Just pull over. You're going to pull over at a gas station or a Starbucks. Why not pull over at a little antique store and give yourself an hour, give your legs a little break and find something cool.
Great advice. And I can't wait to hit those bins now. I'm going to do it. I want to ask you one last question. Monday is National Thrift Store Day. What are you doing to celebrate?
Well, I work. I can't go thrifting till after work, but you know I will.
Well, happy Thrift Store Day to you. Thank you for all the terrific advice. And I guess we'll just encourage everyone, get out there and give it a try.
Yeah, definitely. You will have fun.
Katarina Hartigan, our Wisconsin thrift store expert. Thank you so much, Katarina.
You're so welcome, Terry.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Across one of my old t-shirts. No, it wasn't my style 2 years ago. But now it is. So I bite back and we laugh. And we laugh and laugh. Ha ha ha. We laugh and laugh. Ha ha ha.
Still to come on New Wisco Weekend, we have some great music from Kaylin Cole. And speaking of music, sprinkled here and there throughout this issue of New Wisco Weekend, you've heard bits and pieces of Macklemore's Thrift Shop and Matt Ward's Thrift Shopping. You can find them where you find your favorite music. This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. For our musical segment this week, we go to Nightlight with Peach Waba and his interview with Kaylin Cole.
Kaylin Cole is here. She's been on the show many times. She's immensely talented, Nashville-based singer-songwriter. And tell us about this great new song. It's fantastic. Tell us everything.
So it's called Mistreated Right. It's a play on words. I love writing like double entendres or play on word kind of songs. I sat down with my friends Micah Kennedy and Jared Morris, and they're two like manly men. And I was like, I want to write a song about treating a girl right. And they're like, okay. So we put our heads together and we came up with this really cool Kelsea Ballerini inspired country song. I wouldn't think that this was like my first choice of music stylistically, but it's really fun. And I've also stopped putting myself in a box, I guess, of like, this is how I should sound or whatever. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? This is a really fun song. It's very summery, very fun to like make fun videos with, because as an artist, it is sometimes tiring to lip sync to your song and post it on social media and be doing what everybody else is doing.
Right.
But so I've found myself actually enjoying it here and there.
Are you going to do like a video, like a full blown?
We'll see. I don't know. I funded this myself. I have a couple of other songs coming out this summer, but if it's in the budget, why not?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a sneak preview of our friend Kaylin Cole's new song.
Missed out on another vacation. Southbound, guess I was mistaken. We were wrong, so I took a right onto misery lane. I don't care about my reflection. Turns out we were too damn different. From who I was to who I am now. I hate the way you made me change. I went from feeling fond to stuck under your thumb. Now I'm done. Heart shivers and I'm shaking off this rust. Songs out, the clouds are breaking up. Took some time, but I realized I don't right. I won't lie, I know you try the best you can. Need to breathe in more of that second hand smoke.
Song.
Thank you.
It's so fun to listen to it. Like, you perform that when you've been on the show previously,
yes,
with an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. And there's something, I have a soft spot for any performer just with a voice and an acoustic guitar. I think it's pure beauty.
Oh, thank you.
But that, the composition is so good. Who did that? Who, like,
so
who,
great.
Who did you work with a producer, or is that,
yes,
all you, or
no,
a collaborative effort?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell
so,
me about it.
Kate Malone is my producer in Nashville, and her husband, Devin Malone, has been on tour with, like, the Rascal Flatts, Hunter Hayes, and just a bunch of people in Nashville. And so they sat down, and I've had them do a couple of songs before, but they ended up doing what's called a pre-production meeting with me. And so we hit the studio for 5 songs in one day with these grade A musicians in Nashville, and just told them, like, hey, this is what this song is supposed to sound like. And we had talked about that in our pre-production meeting. So we were able to get the sound correct before even getting in the studio. Because you only have, you know, like 6 hours to record.
Right.
So I was like, I want it upbeat, a summer feeling bop, just something like empowering women, or even, mm-hmm, men too, like, you know, if you're not treated right in a relationship, like, get out of it. What are you,
right,
doing? And then just wanted it to be like Kelsea Ballerini inspired. So that's kind of what made Mistreated Right. And I love the banjo in it. It's so fun.
It's a really fun song.
Thank you.
And it was, like I said, when you performed it with the acoustic guitar in the studio, it was great too. But all right. Well, this has been really fun. Thank you so much. And I love the different sound of this than when you
thank
did it.
You.
I like them both, but this is really fun and a really great accomplishment. So I hope it sells like gangbusters, and I hope you have great shows while you're here.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend's Look at Thrifting. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulotz, Pete Schwabe, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, email me anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.